Every best gift is from above. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This is a day for gifts, isn't it? Did you remember something for your mother? I want you to remember most of all today the gift your mother gives to you. But first, let us look at the gift of motherhood itself. Did you know that our very name for the contract and the sacrament, which creates that context in which God desires to give the gift of motherhood, I mean holy matrimony, comes from the Latin matris munus, the gift or the office of motherhood. It is a great and a perfect gift coming down from the Father of lights. It is a gift that she gives to each one of us today so that we may be like her. That is to say, a means of bringing life to others. Consider what it is that makes a woman to be a mother. It is far more than the physical act of conception or of giving birth. There is a distinct spiritual element coming down from the Father of lights, which makes a woman, every woman, by her very nature, and by the supernatural life of baptism, necessarily to be a mother. It is God who fashions the masterpiece of a mother's heart. It is an exquisite mirroring, reflection of God's infinite goodness. Where do you think the heart of a mother came from? I mean that never-failing font of love, of tenderness and of generousness, of how a mother manages to be strong and yet delicate at the same time, and how she has to be almost clairvoyant to protect her children, but at the same time she is unfailingly indulgent. The heart of a mother is the heart of God. It is a reflection given, as we shall see today, through his word, his image, his son Jesus Christ, of the very perfections of God himself. That shouldn't surprise us. They say that the God of the Old Testament was a stern, strict God, which is not true. Even in the Old Testament, our Lord spoke through his prophet Isaiah, "Can a woman forget her infant, so as not to have pity on the son of her womb? And if she should forget, yet will I not forget thee." In giving us a mother, what God is doing, and I mean your mother and his mother, who is the mother of us all, God is giving vent to his unquenchable desire to show us mercy. As we read in the Psalms, "The Lord is sweet to all, and his tender mercies are above all his works." A mother is by her nature and by her character an embodiment of that pure ideal of mercy. Mercy not held back in any way by justice, mercy not tempered even by reason at times, just mercy for its own sake. That's a mother. God made her that way, you see, in order to reflect. We human beings can only see one truth at a time. In order to reflect, in some sense, his own loving heart and his son, our Savior. Didn't he weep more than once over the fate of his own people? And didn't he, of all things, compare himself to a mother hen, that would just gather together all of his people as a hen does her chickens, but they would not. A picture of the mercies of our Savior's heart. Today, I want to look at another one of the Easter Gospels with you. Last week, we saw fatherhood, but our Lord told his apostles in their sorrow, they would be like mothers giving birth. But then the sorrow is turned into joy because a man is born into this world. This gospel of Easter Wednesday I have chosen because it shows us that same motherly virtue which has its source in the infinite goodness of our good God. And at the same time, it shows us prophetically, I think, the gift that the Blessed Mother has come to this earth to give us and to ask for from us more than once in the latter times. In this gospel, our Lord shows himself after the resurrection in this manner. In John's 21st gospel, Easter Wednesday, there were together Simon Peter and Thomas, what's called the twin, Didymus, and Nathanael, that's St. Bartholomew, who was of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, that would be James and John, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith to them, I go a-fishing. They're waiting for our Lord to show himself, so they go back to their former occupation because they need to eat, so they go fishing. They say to him, we also come with thee. And they went forth and entered into the ship, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet his disciples knew not that it was Jesus. The disciples in the water, fishing, that stands for this world. And our Lord standing on the shore, that's heaven, that's eternity. The disciples are in the ship with Peter. That, of course, is the Catholic Church. Now listen to the words with which our Lord addresses his apostles. Children, have you nothing to eat? They are words of an almost maternal tenderness, aren't they? And they answered him, no. He saith to them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. Because the right side, again, that stands for eternity, sanctifying grace, spiritual life. They cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. That disciple, therefore, whom Jesus loved, saith to Peter, it is the Lord. That's St. John, because of his purity, his virginal heart recognizes the Sacred Heart. Simon Peter, when he heard that it was the Lord, girt his coat about him, for he was naked, and cast himself into the sea. But the other disciples came in the ship, for they were not far from the land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And as soon as they came to land, they saw hot coals lying, and a fish laid thereon, and bread. So after our Lord says, you don't have anything to eat, he goes ahead and he starts breakfast. Only though, because our Lord is a man, note in the gospel, he's barbecuing. He's got the hot coals going. And what does he put out for their breakfast? Fish and bread. It's a symbol of our Lord. Remember the Greek words, the first letter of this Greek phrase spells fish. Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior. And then, of course, our Lord is the bread of life. And then the red-hot coals of that barbecue, they stand for the red-hot heart of our Lord, full of love for us, but also the suffering of his passion that produces for us the sacraments. Then comes what I consider to be the most interesting and the prophetical part of this Gospel of St. John. Jesus saith to them, Bring hither of the fishes which you have now caught. Simon Peter went up into the ship and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus saith to them, Come and eat. And none of them who were at meat durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. And Jesus cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish in like manner. Again, the terminology, as we've been saying, that's of the Eucharist, of the Blessed Sacrament, of the consecration of the Mass. And this is now the third time that Jesus was manifested to his disciples after he was risen from the dead. Why do you think St. John says specifically 153 fishes? The saints could never agree on that. Jerome says that the Greeks taught there were 153 species of fish. Augustine says, because he's great on numbers, well, if you add up sequentially 10 for the Ten Commandments and 7 for the gifts of the Holy Ghost, you'll get 153. And some commentators just say, well, it's a mystery. We don't know why that number is used. But I'll tell you why. I read it a number of years ago in a magazine, and it seems to me the best interpretation possible. How many Hail Marys are there in a full rosary? I mean, the 15 decades. 153. So what's the net that goes into the sea and pulls in all of these fishes without breaking? It's the rosary. It's the rosary, which catches the big fishes, one for each Hail Mary, or even more, because there's no limit to it. And by means of this gift to us, we share somehow in this incredibly tender and loving and merciful heart of Almighty God, which is so beautifully mirrored in the heart of a mother, and perfectly so in the Immaculate Heart of Our Lady. We, all of us, but especially mothers, because it's especially a mother's duty, worry about our children. And we talk, and we try this, and we try that, and sometimes we get angry and ourselves fall into sin. And all of that is wasted time. We need to imitate all of the good mothers of history. And I think of my own Irish great-grandmother doing this, and many a grandmother and mother has. That is to say, with her rosary, day after day. And what she's doing is fishing. She's casting that net in. Now, the net doesn't break. If you use a rosary enough, it may, but that doesn't matter. Just get yourself another. By means of this good gift, this perfect gift, coming down from the Father of lights to the hands of Our Lady of Light, our Blessed Mother, we can catch, and not a single one of those big fishes is going to be lost. Queen of the Most Holy Rosary, pray for us. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.